BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Sergio De Morello.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, CDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Good God!
Stratus action is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rap.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Where is your savior?
Surprise, surprise. He ain't here for you. But you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Thank goodness for my believers. They have truly been the wind beneath my wings.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your wrestling action figure needs. I am the host of the show, Lindsay Warden, joining me as always because he's, you know, kung fu fighting his way through Total Divas every week with me is Sir Rockin.
Kung fu fighting. No one will get this reference until they listen to The Rack Extra over the weekend.
Yeah. Tune in, The Rack Extra comes out tomorrow and you will understand why we played the song tonight. But we can't talk about The Rack Extra because we have way the hell too much to get into. We have like 15 news stories. We have NXT. We're going to be talking Wyatt's tonight. You know, tweet of the week. And of course, well, our question of the night.
With SmackDown 15 coming up next Friday. It's almost here, y'all. What's your favorite SmackDown moment? We're going to talk about that tonight on the show.
And, well, stay tuned for a special announcement concerning SmackDown 15 because, you know, we might have a little surprise for y'all next week because...
Maybe.
That's what we do.
Because that's what we do. It's not like how we roll, like some people like to roll in quotations with certain people of holy nature. No, 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 no.
No.
No. It's not what we do. You'll see what we do next week, maybe.
Yep. And speaking of what we do, thank you to everybody who listened to Edge. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I was at a wedding last weekend, so sorry that we were not live, but tried to make it up to you with Edge and doing a regular show. I was actually drinking at this time with my best friend who's about to get married. So, a good time was had by all.
A good time was had by all, and yes, thanks for everyone who listened to Edge. Who's listened to Eva Marie, which is now on YouTube. Go check out the Rock YouTube channel if you missed the interview. And, of course, the one and only Brian Shields last month. So it's kind of big September. We're here in October, though. Fall's hit. And a lot has happened in the last 7 days.
Yes, yes, it has. And, oh, my God, it's scary. It's October. But now we're going to jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com. Go there for all your news needs and... Good Lord, dude. We have like 15 stories. I don't even know where to start.
Let's start with the congratulations.
All yeah, right. Congratulations.
Congratulations to one Mickey James and Magnus as they welcomed their first child, Donovan, last Thursday to the world. That's awesome.
That's wonderful. I remember when she got pregnant and everybody was so excited. So congratulations to Mickey and Nick. I'm sure they're Magnus. Sorry. I'm sure they're very, very happy and excited. I just saw one of her pregnancy photos, and she looks stunning.
She did. She had some fancy photos taken, and yeah. Yeah, they had the child last Thursday, so congratulations to them.
No. This was not a they. This was a she did it. Let's get this right.
Okay. She had a photo taken. But
no, she had the baby.
No, I meant that.
This is not, when you have a baby, it is not a group effort.
Well, the dude plays a role. I'm just saying.
Yes, you help. A little.
Really? A little?
A little.
Really? Really? Alright.
You know what? You don't carry the baby for 9 months, and then you have to push it out of your body. Just pointing that out. Like, one shot, y'all are done. For, like, almost a year.
One. She's broken me after one story. Alright, let's go ahead and get a fun night.
I warned you I was in a mood. I completely, totally warned you I was in a mood. Just, it's been a weird day. But speaking of congratulations, we also have to express them to, and I hope to God I say your name right, Mahal... Yeah, I can't say that.
Mahali
Shira?
We'll go with that.
I'm so sorry if I said your name wrong. Please forgive me. He is the first Indian wrestler signed by TNA. It's very exciting news for him, so congratulations. And I guess I'm supposed to be continuing because, you know, the producer is broken. So staying on the TNA topic. Yes, yay. He's leaving the host all by myself. Bobby Lashley is going to be fighting Carl Etherington, who is 9-0-0 at Bellator 130 on October 24th. So congratulations to him on the next fight. I hope he wins. Please don't get your butt kicked because, well, we kind of need you to not do that because that would kind of stink. So best of luck. Crossing fingers for him. Just as a quick side note as well, Kurt Angle did announce his future plans. And he is, I believe, signing with a new... Well, he signed something.
No, alright. So, I'm back now. Kurt Angle decided that he has signed a new contract, and he's going to perform limited dates. About 40 of them next year, and it's going to be his last year in pro wrestling.
Is it with TNA?
He has not announced what company.
That's what I thought.
He has not announced what company yet. He's taped a few months of television with TNA in the next couple months. And then he's officially done until he announces what his next move is, whether it's with TNA or another company. The company's going to take very good care of him, but we'll see. Is it WWE? I don't know. What do you think? Do you think he should go back to WWE for one more run?
If WWE would have him, but I think they're really not interested at this stage. I mean, that could be wrong, but I think they really did get who they wanted, which was Hogan and Sting out of TNA, and they now have them under their thumb. I mean, it's something if you could bring Angle back for limited dates. I've heard everybody joking about him coming back to work with Rusev. You could have him do that. It's just given Angle's physical condition and given his problems in the past with his neck and everything, I'm just not sure he could get cleared. That could be wrong. He could have rehabbed everything really well, and he could be in great shape. And if he is, it's wonderful. And I would love to see him come back to WWE for one more run. I'm just not sure if they want him.
It's also, is he healthy enough to go for one more run?
Yeah, I mean, it's something of when he was in WWE the last time, he left as he wasn't even wrestling. I think he was semi-retired at that point, wasn't he?
He was doing WWE, ECW, and then sort of faded away.
Yeah, so it's because I remember the last Angle, he was like the GM or something, and he was tooling around in the wheelchair because of his neck.
No, he wrestled after that point. That was 2003, 2004. He came back and did the WWE, ECW, and then sort of faded away because of all the wellness issues.
Gotcha. Well, that's the last time I remember him being there. What does that tell you?
In a prominent role, yeah. He had a few with Cena, and then went to ECW, and then sort of faded away because of the wellness.
Yeah, so... But best of luck to him. If it's with TNA, wonderful. If it's with WWE, wonderful. If it's with another company, wonderful. You know, I hope he finds success wherever he goes.
Same here. It'll be interesting to see. If he was signing with TNA, you figured he would have announced it by now?
Well, his contract with TNA is up, isn't it?
It is officially kind of up. He's filmed TV. He's fulfilled all of his contract obligations. He was going to be bound for glory, but, well, because he's no longer in a contract, he's not going to be there.
No, he's not. So that makes things a little bit awkward for Bound for Glory, which, speaking of, TNA has announced the full card for Bound for Glory in Tokyo, Japan, which is going to be taking place on October 12th, 2014. You're going to have Great Muta and Tajiri taking on James Storm and the Great Sonata.
Stop right there. That's the only match sort of built on television. Just saying.
Okay.
So that's the main event. That's the only match built on television.
Okay. Well, spoiler alert for the rest.
No, the rest are just random matches.
Okay. Let me read the damn card.
I'm just explaining.
He's breaking my flow.
By the way, this is Roger about TNA Asylum, a haven for TNA fans.
Yes.
Because she sees she has to read Japanese names and she's gonna... Yeah. Anyway.
Punch you in the face.
I know.
Team 3D taking on Abyss and Tommy Dreamer. Samoa Joe versus Loki versus Kaz Hayashi for the X Division Championship. Ethan Carter III taking on Roita Hamana.
Hama?
MVP. Hama?
I guess.
If I get your name wrong, I am so incredibly sorry. I am white and American and tacky. Just throwing it all out there right now. And I've been drinking. Just throwing it all out there right now.
Keep going.
MVP taking on Kazuma Sakamoto. Manic taking on Minoru Takana. Tanaka.
There you go.
Thank you. Read that wrong for a second. Havoc versus Velvet Sky for the TNA Knockouts Championship. Andy Wu versus Haijo Del Pantera versus Kiroshi Aikamen Jiro and Yusuke Komada.
Okay, now.
Kodama.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter.
I'm so sorry.
This is all going to be produced by, like, Russell 1, and it'll air on October 12th in the United States. All right, on TV, Tommy Dreamer is aligned with Team 3D, so him teaming with Abyss to take on Team 3D makes no sense. And Samoa Joe versus Loki versus Kaz Hayashi makes no sense when they've taped television and Joe's lost the title already. So, anyway, that's all that is. Should be an interesting show. It's not as interesting as it was about 3 months ago, when we were actually excited for this pay-per-view.
Yeah. Given the names, I mean, there are some people that I would be excited to see, you know, and of course the Wrestle 1 talent, who are amazing. But, you know, for me, there's not a lot to sell me on this card, unfortunately. They're obviously doing it for the market over there. Totally fine. I hope they make a lot of money doing it over there, and they come back with it, and they're able to move forward.
Their biggest priority right now is getting a TV deal. That's their priority. So this pay-per-view has sort of been pushed to the side, basically. They're not having many champions on the show. So it's one of those pay-per-views that's sort of like a one-night only, but a little bit bigger than a one-night only, because it'll air live-ish, unlike tape delay for months. So it's basically what it's turned out to be, and that's sad. It's a sad state for TNA. It's like, wow, this is how we end up. Usually we're coming into the home show to the Bound for Glory series right now, really excited for the main event of Bound for Glory, and not so much this year. It's kind of depressing.
Yeah, it is. But moving on from TNA, by the way, October 12th, buy it on pay-per-view, Bound for Glory. Moving on from TNA, we're going to talk a little bit about, well, GFW, because Jeff Jarrett is moving forward as well, and he has announced that Global Force Wrestling is going to present its very first pay-per-view in January.
And this one's very interesting, as at the Tokyo Dome, New Japan Pro Wrestling presents their Wrestle Kingdom big show. It's one of their biggest shows. It's the first show of the year. And Jeff Jarrett's helping bringing it to the United States, and it's going to be called GFW Presents New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom, I believe. That's kind of interesting.
That is kind of interesting.
It's like, huh. Because we know Jeff Jarrett's been out trying to make TV deals and make deals with all these companies, and he has to deal with New Japan, as it's been announced. He's now a member of the Bullet Club, which is one of the big stables over in New Japan. So they're bringing the pay-per-view over, and that's interesting. It'll air live from Japan on pay-per-view, and then they're in the traditional 8 p.m. Sunday time slot.
Right.
So if you want to be up at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning watching New Japan, by all means, you can, I believe, on pay-per-view. And with New Japan's deal with Ustream coming, it ended because Ustream no longer providing iPay-per-view streaming in terms of taking the pay for it and stuff like that. They're out of luck to stream to like a large variety of people. So coming to pay-per-view under the GFW banner, it's a start. It's not the start you would think coming from GFW, but again, we don't know Jeff Jarrett's vision for it, and maybe he's branding some events under his banner. We'll see. It'll be interesting. It's intriguing to see what he does with the company and presenting New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom. All right, that's a start. It's a step in the positive direction to get the company off the ground.
It is, and he's kind of been building the company right. He's got all the money behind it. He's now building the relationships. He's built one in Japan. I believe he's built some in Mexico as well. So he's building this international relationship where obviously Jarrett wants a fresh start with GFW. It will be completely different than what TNA was and is, I would suspect. He is not drawing from any of the TNA talent pool. He is bringing in fresh faces, new stars. He's really looking, like I said, for that fresh start. So I'm really curious to see what he does with it and what GFW is.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So hopefully this is just he's helped bringing a pay-per-view to the U.S. and not his own brand. It's very confusing and it's very intriguing at the same time.
It could be a mix. It could be that they're going to bring some of the New Japan people over.
Possibly, and this will be the way to get them exposed, and then when the company's really launched, here you go.
Yeah, test the market, see how they do in the market, see how people respond to them, and go from there.
Yes.
So, have to see how it goes, but now we're going to shift away from TNA and GFW and go right into the WWE news, because, you know, the bulk of it is WWE, and obviously we have to go with the biggest story this week concerning WWE, aside from the game, which we will get into in a second, is that it was announced this afternoon that NXT trainer and beloved wrestler Nick Densmore was released.
Hi, my name's Eugene. Hi. Bye. Sucks. Many people were shocked by his release. He was very well liked, and they're like, "Oh, Eugene's gone? Oh, sad."
Right?
Yeah. Not much is really known. It just seems to be one of those things that just sort of happened. Maybe it's a budget cut. Who knows? But a lot of people that have been talking about it, it's like, "All right, yeah." They were kind of shocked that he was gone, and maybe he found his way on the wrong side politically, and that, again, that always does you in. Mark Larlo, something like that. Again, names, suck at it. He was also released from NXT as well. He was working backstage.
Well, that's unfortunate.
So.
You never want to hear anybody losing their job.
No, you don't. But again, WWE's doing budget cuts, and they're slowly doing them. So maybe these were played a factor. Who knows?
Who knows? But speaking of NXT, NXT general manager, and of course WWE, WCW, and British wrestling legend William Regal is bringing his highly regarded spoken word show, An Audience with a Wrestling Villain, to Glasgow and Liverpool this November. And as a 30-year veteran of the squared circle, this globe-trotting grappler has a wealth of tales and experiences to share. I'd actually really kind of like to go.
Same here.
A true showman and born entertainer, Mr. Regal's passion for old-school comedy and variety shines out whenever he takes the microphone. Essential viewing for any wrestling fans, and never less than completely enthralling for anyone else. So if you want to go, here's the deal. A limited number of VIP tickets will be available that will include, for those lucky devils, a post-show meet and greet along with an autograph and photo opportunity. The tickets will go on sale Thursday, October 2nd, so today they went on at 6 p.m., and you can go to skiddle.com, that's skiddle.com, to purchase the tickets. What you want to do is go under the artist section and look at William Regal. So, if you're in the Glasgow area,
and we know you, and we
in
know,
November,
and we know you are,
and we know some of you are, go.
Go.
Get pictures. Bring them back for us.
Yeah. William Regal is highly entertaining. And, yeah, so go see him. Go support him, because he's awesome. And he's also as the general manager on NXT, too. And yeah. But, no, he's been in the business for over 30 years. He's got every story in the book. You can just sit back, listen. He'll tell every story he can tell. And he probably even won't even touch 1% of them.
Nope. Which is really kind of sad, but didn't he write a book, or isn't he writing a book?
I believe he's writing a book.
That would be amazing. I would read the absolute hell out of that book if that's true.
Hey, look at that. Green Bay scored again.
Is this just going to be a tradition now? Like
every Thursday game has been a blowout. Everyone. Competition. Competitiveness. This is what $39 million a game gets you, ladies and gentlemen. Not competitive games.
This is what happens when you don't, you know, play Teddy Bridgewater. Dude, you are playing without a helmet. What is wrong with you?
Well, Teddy Bridgewater kind of hurt his ankle.
They said Teddy Bridgewater was fine.
He would be fine. It's been 3 days. If this he was playing Sunday, he would have played. It was too quick. Now he's got another 10 days to rest. He'll be fine.
Hashtag vote for Teddy.
For what? Vote for Teddy for what?
For quarterback.
He will be the starting quarterback when healthy. Because Matt Castle got hurt for the season, so.
And we don't want Christian Ponder, so.
Yeah. Oh. Vote for Teddy? Hashtag.
Vote for Teddy. Hashtag vote for Teddy.
I don't know.
Just another quick note, the WWE Network has been delayed in the UK. They're expected to make an announcement regarding that in the next few weeks. The rumor is that they're trying to actually get the network on TV as opposed to it being an over-the-top online service, but they seem to be running into some trouble as the UK is kind of in the same boat as Canada. They're feeling that the network is competition for the Fight Network, which is a Canadian base, so it would be
Sky Sports.
Same with
Sky Sports in the UK.
Yeah, and Sky Sports in the UK. So they feel that would be too close to the Fight Network, unfortunately. So WWE's having little issues getting it launched in the UK and keeping it on TV in Canada. So they are expected to make an announcement regarding at least the UK launch here shortly.
By November 1st, I believe, is the day they're going to make an announcement.
Yes. So, keep your fingers crossed, UK people.
Yes.
But now we're going to kind of get into one of the other big stories, which we have to talk about, because, well, the gameplay trailer for WWE 2K15 came out.
Well, we talked about the trailer. They gave you a little bit more information besides the trailer.
Yeah, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
I just want to talk about how pretty it was again, because it's pretty. And it says, in parentheses, I can talk about Bray here. So,
well,
just, you know.
There was a reason. Anyway, go ahead.
So, it was pretty. Bray does the spider walk. Yay. But they also announced, in addition to the gameplay trailer, what the My Career mode for WWE 2K15 is going to be. And, oh my god, it's so cool.
Yeah, we'll get into details in a second. Let's bring up the Bray Wyatt thing first. It was because Bray Wyatt's been doing a bunch of interviews. That we've heard.
Bastards, I hate you all.
Where Bray Wyatt, Mr. Bray Wyatt, talked about his role in the video game and how he looks. And, you know, he's not so... He's less jacked in the video games than he is in real life. He's very jacked in real life. And he wished the video game would show off his jackedness.
Honey, you're round. I know you've lost a lot of weight, and we all love you for that, but you're round. You're not as jacked as you think you are, but good try.
Like he says, his figure is not as jacked as it could be, and his, you know, they got the spider walk and everything, and the fireflies, but they didn't get my arm. My arms are jacked.
No, honey, no. I mean, that's kind of like Taker, like all of Taker's action figures, you know, especially in the early 2000s where he had the beer gut, and like all of Taker's figures completely jacked. It's like, yeah, that's how the Undertaker thinks he looks and wants to look, and then there's reality. Because they issued, like, I remember for the figures, they did like the one real scan, or the first real scan technology figures, mm-hmm. where they were the taller, just kind of statue figures, and they did one of Taker, and it was full body.
Yeah.
Including the gut. So it's like, you know, oh honey, no.
Yeah, so, talking about the My Career mode, and this is a really awesome mode. First off, for My Career, it's for only creative wrestlers, so you got a creative wrestler. And you start at the NXT Performance Center in Orlando, where... As it says in from IGN, where Bill DeMott yells at you a lot.
Okay.
So it's real life. From there, it's a ride to the NXT TV show, the main WWE roster, various pay-per-views, and perhaps eventually championship gold. The thing is, the ride can be explosively fast or very long, and ultimately it may never lead exactly where you wanted to go. And, you know, the guy's talking about how that's promising for the career. It's You go through the basics and you made your way out of the Performance Center to broadcast TV, and everything you do in the career mode all will help you advance. You'll change your ratings, improve them. You can if you interact with a guy on Twitter, you get more points. Or if to go this way, if you smash Roman Reigns' head into a turnbuckle, you know your direction will change. Whether you're heel, your face, whatever you do. Will all depend. Your storylines, your rivalries, your alliances aren't random, but they build off of things you do. Which is, I think is very kind of cool.
It is very cool.
Like, in with all video games, there's no fail state where you can like, oh my god, I'm going to restart this match. No, if it happens, it happens. Win or lose, you can't restart a match. So, whatever happens in the NXT, in the My Career mode is awesome. I kind of like this. It's like an RPG sort of thing for career wrestlers. You get good in-ring performances get you skill points. There's virtual currency will let you hit career milestones and achievements. Currency allows you to hire managers for varying ability, holding training sessions with other superstars to improve your moveset. And you may have wanting to grind in My Career mode to make your career wrestler a total beast rather than try to make it to the end as fast as possible. There's one other cool feature, you can incorporate your friends into this. If you have friends who have creative wrestlers on your friends list, they can come out and surprise attack you at some points, which is kind of awesome.
It's kind of awesome.
Now, with this My Career mode, they announced some NXT superstars that are going to be in this game.
Yes, they did.
One Corey Graves is in the video game. One Adrian Neville.
He was so surprised.
He was. One Sami Zayn is in the video game. And, of course, the Believer himself, Bo Dallas. Bo is in the game.
Now, I'm curious, and I'm not sure if they announced this, but can you do the My Career mode for men and women? Or is it just the guys?
I would assume it's just dudes.
Damn it!
I would assume. I don't... They doesn't tell me, but usually that's the case.
I'm pouting. I want them to do that for the Divas. It's like the one thing I've been missing in the games that would actually probably really make me buy the games and a system to go with the games is to have the mode where it's like you can take the girls through all the same modes as the guys. Because it's like, as a female, okay? Not even going to precipice as, you know, anything other than I am a girl, okay? It would be really cool to take a female wrestler and put her through the same kind of thing as you would, you know, as you, a guy, would put a male wrestler through in the game. And maybe it's in the game this year. I don't know. I haven't seen it. We're not sure. But this is just kind of the preemptive if it's not in the game kind of rant. Because I know it wasn't there last year. And it hasn't been in the game, as far as I know, before now.
But at the same time, this is a brand new mode. So over time, it could be added. And again, that takes a lot of time because there's not many girls in the game yet. When there's more girls added to the game, I think you'll be able to get more girls in, like, a career mode, because they'll have more, instead of the same four girls fighting against, there'll be more to do with.
Oh, I agree, but it's like, I wish they would expand out the women's mode, because obviously, they know that they have a large female audience, and as a member of the female WWE audience, that would be something that would be really cool to me, and that I would like to see, is to be able to take a girl from, you know, coming into the performance center, and going up through the ranks all the way up to winning titles and WrestleMania and all that fun, happy stuff. And actually make, you know, a girl believe, hey, that could happen.
Right.
Which, you know, it can, but it's not as believable as it is for a guy. Because obviously for a guy, hi Teddy, it's...
Hashtag vote for Teddy.
Hashtag vote for Teddy. Hey, you know what? He's an awesome quarterback. Vote for Teddy. Hi, Teddy. So, I'm a Louisville Cardinal fan. Deal with it.
Hey, anyway, just continue.
I'm continuing. So, you know, just to kind of go on the point, it would be at least cool to me as a female and as a female wrestling fan to have that opportunity to be able to do that. Because that's something that I've been kind of missing with the games. It's just the female modes in general. Because it is geared towards guys. Let's be 100% honest. It is obviously geared toward their main audience, which is male. Fine. I would like to see in the future that they expand out the female side of things. Because that would be really attractive to me to buy the game and actually try to play the game. Because that was like the one thing... Because I bought 13.
12.
I had... No, I bought the one with Punk on it.
Did you? Oh, 13, yeah. 13, my bad.
Yeah, I have 13.
My bad.
So, and I found a system, and I picked up 13, and I played it, and it was fun for, like, a week and a half. And it was something of, it was like, you know, it's like you get to play as the guys. And yeah, it's fun to play as the guys for a little bit, but it's like when you go into the creator wrestler mode, it's like you have all these options for the guys in terms of what they can wear and what they can look like. The girls, not so much.
No. Yeah. Yeah, there's not as much for the girls in the game. I think they improved upon it in the last game, and I think over time they will. Again, you need more girls in the game, and... This is basically saying, hey, girls out there, buy the video game and then talk to 2K Sports and maybe they'll add more features.
We need to get Brian Williams back on this show.
Might be an idea.
Need to talk to that man. I have ideas.
You have ideas? All right.
I have ideas. Right. And on the other flip side of things, I want my goddamn wrestling wedding. I want it in the game. Somebody put it in the game.
I can't help you.
Just throwing that out there. You know, it's like I want equality for women in the game, but I want my wrestling wedding in the game. They had a wedding dress in the game, but no wedding. Like, how messed up is that?
Kind of messed up, because, you know, yeah. Hashtag vote for Teddy. Hashtag wedding in game.
There we go.
Ha-ha!
Speaking of buying stuff as we transition off the WWE video game, it's according to the company's latest keynote performance indicators, and this would be WWE, that the 2014 SummerSlam pay-per-view headlined by Brock Lesnar versus John Cena garnered around 140,000 to 150,000 traditional pay-per-view buys. This is down from the 2013 buy rate of 298,000 buys, but of course, that event took place prior to the inception of the WWE network. So, you're looking at they probably lost about half of the buy rates on traditional pay-per-view, but probably made them up and then some on network, I would guess.
Again, WWE's not counting network pay-per-view numbers into their plans, so 150,000 buys just made the money.
Hey.
It was 65,000 domestic and about 115. You do the math, about 100, maybe 55,000 in the U.S. and 105 domestic buys. So that's pretty good.
Yep.
Or international buys, I should say. 105,000. So that's
something
a lot.
Like that.
That's a lot of numbers, so that's pretty good.
Maths. We can do maths, we swear.
We swears. I've heard different numbers. I heard like 115 and 65, and then I saw that number. It didn't add up to what I heard, so, you know, trying to figure it out on the spot. But the point being is they made some money.
They made money, which is always good.
And then they said for Night of Champions, you were stupid to buy the pay-per-view. Buy the network. $9.99.
Well, they want people... I think they really do want to pull the shows off pay-per-view and move them exclusively over to the network because it's not doing anything. Hey, look at that. Ponder scored a touchdown.
How about that? They scored. They want to move. They want more subscribers for the network because that's their model at the moment. But they can't because they can't pull it off traditional pay per view because not everyone has the internet.
Oh, I agree, and they probably won't. I think that would eventually be the plan is when they get the number whittled down to a point where it's like, okay, well, it's more basically when they get the number down to it costs them more money to have it on pay per view than what they're. Then what they're making off of it, that's the point where they will pull it off pay-per-view, and at that point people will be screwed, unfortunately. But they're not there yet.
No, they're far from it.
So as long as they continue to make money on pay-per-view, they will continue to leave the shows on there, but I think eventually the point is to get everything in terms of those types of shows over to the network where they can make the bulk of their money, because that's what they're relying on at this point. For the bulk of their money is the network.
Yeah, it is. But again, it goes back to people who have internet but don't have strong enough signals to keep the network strong, and that plays a big factor. They're more willing to buy the pay-per-view than stream the network, because they just can't. Again, we all think the internet's like a big thing, but in some cities and in some rural areas in the U.S. and overseas, you just don't have strong enough internet to do a over-the-top network. So that's why being on traditional TV is kind of a big deal.
Yep. And like I said, as long as they make money, they'll keep it there. It's only when it becomes cost prohibitive for them that they don't.
Right.
So, just pointing that out. Speaking of the international market, WWE did issue an apology for the incident concerning the Russian flag on last week, or I should say actually not last week, this week's Raw, where Big Show yanked it down and threw it to the mat. Part of it fell on the ground. And also, I believe they apologized for some of the inflammatory remarks made about Russia. So.
And Big Show makes an apology this Friday on SmackDown.
Yes. They don't want to cause any international incidents. Again.
No, again, yeah.
They learned their lesson in Brazil.
Yes, they did.
Also, just quick notes, WWE star Dwayne The Rock Johnson confirmed that he will play the lead role in the Jansen Directive film. The movie is based off the book written by the late Robert Ludlum, who also wrote the Jason Bourne books.
And he is supposedly in line to be attached to the Baywatch movie.
award. God help us all.
The Rock in red swim shorts like David Hasselhoff.
Oh, the fangirls will be beside themselves. But along with The Rock, Dave Bautista also got some good news. He's been booked in a lead role in the new thriller alongside Robert De Niro titled Bus 657. The plot of the film is about a former casino car dealer who puts a crew together to rob a bank and hijack a city bus as collateral. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, if I could talk, will play the former casino worker. He brings in Bautista to rob the place. De Niro plays the owner of the casino, of course. The film will be shot this October in Alabama. So if you're in the Alabama area, you want to go check out Robert De Niro and Bautista, go for it.
So I guess it's very clear Bautista won't be coming back anytime soon.
No, I guess not. I guess he's all done until possibly Mania season. We'll have to see, but
he's booked up.
And on one final note, as we were talking about women in wrestling, WWE is getting invaded next week.
Oh, boy.
By one Kathy Lee Gifford.
Get your wine glasses ready.
I don't even understand this, but okay.
The girls from the Today Show, Kathy Lee Gifford and Hoda. You have the famous duo Hoda and Kathy Lee and Hoda will be on the show too.
Is that like Hodor?
Maybe I don't know. Anyway, they're going to be on the show probably based around the breast cancer awareness stuff. So they'll probably have a small little part, and that's why they're going to be on the show. They're getting them involved. Like they had Hogan and talk about the breast cancer. They'll breast cancer awareness. They'll have the girls talk about it. And Joan London will be also on the show. She'll be sitting with a bunch of cancer survivors because she's going through her own bout with breast cancer at the moment.
Yes, yes, she is.
So hopefully that's all it will be, and that's all I assume it will be. And again, it's Synergy, NBC Universal, WWE. What you do, especially in this time of the year when you're promoting breast cancer awareness.
Yes, so should be an interesting experience.
She sounds so thrilled.
I can't wait. Yay.
Cross promotion.
Save the boobies.
No, support the twins at WWEshop.com.
Save the boobies.
Their shirt says support the twins.
I like save the boobies better.
I like save the boobies better too, but they're very clever with support the twins.
Yeah, but you could confuse them for the Bellas.
Well, it does have the Bellas logo on the side.
Just saying. So, on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting NXT. It was championship week. We'll find out who put the championship on the line and who retained. So, you'll listen to the record on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back.
Boo!
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gang bang or something.
Techno gang bang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Why are you Gundam style over here?
That's the horse you have, that's the horse
you have. Gundam style. Gundam style. Gundam style.
Oh, not the pelvic thrust. That Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Right on.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I gotta play something else, Rock. I'm having to wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jarvis! Jason the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a jab. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down into Dustin Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your wrestling action figure needs.
Woo!
Woo! And we are back, by the way. Another quick news item, because we didn't have enough. The Wyatts are trending on Yahoo at number 6. Everybody found out about the news that's coming out that we're going to be talking a little bit later in the show, so you don't want to miss that. But now we're going to be talking all about Champions Week on NXT. And, well, we came back to the lovely Charlotte's Music, who is an awesome, awesome women's champion. And, well, she opened the show tonight with Bayley.
Yeah, for the NXT Women's Championship. The announcers argued. And then we had a Bayley's Gonna Hug You chant. I love that chant. It's an awesome chant. These two girls, before I get into the details, this was a great match.
Yes, yes, I would agree with that 100%. They tore it down.
So both women locked up battle for position, with each woman trying to get overpower the other. yeah, that sort of was the story early on. Excuse me, as I was coughing for a second. Charlotte charged in, and Bayley moved out of the way a couple of times before taking her down. Charlotte connected. Bayley connected with like 4 quick roll-ups on Charlotte, trying to keep her down over and over again. Just like she's trying to get to the edge, trying to get the edge. Bayley with a couple of nice arm drags, including one off the second rope. Charlotte bailed out of the ring to slow down Bayley for a little bit. She was sort of getting the best of Charlotte. Charlotte tripped up Bayley and worked over Bayley's ankle. The fans then became stupid with chants. Yes, they started at one point chanting a 999 chant. Let the girls, don't disrespect the girls. Pay attention to the match. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, please don't.
Charlotte, both women again battled for a backslide, but Bayley, took control, and worked over left arm. Charlotte Bayley continues to stay on top of Charlotte, you know, keeping her down with the front face lock. As every time Charlotte tried to get control, he would bring her back down in the front face lock. Bayley goes for backslide again. This time, Charlotte blocked it and drove her right leg right into the knee of Bayley. And this became the story of the match, as Bayley's left leg was worked over by Charlotte. And the announcer started bringing up how awkward her leg was bent as we went to break. When we came back from commercial break, Charlotte again continues to work over Bayley, sets her up in the corner, just drives her knees right into the leg, just trying to tighten up the leg of Bayley. Charlotte continues to work over the leg. She used her good leg to get out of a leg lock for a minute, which was smart. But Charlotte drags her to the ropes and drops all her weight right onto the leg of Bayley. It looked like it hurt as it was hung on the rope. Charlotte went for it a second time. Bayley moved her leg, rolled up Charlotte for a quick two count. Bayley fights back up into the matchup on one leg, basically favoring her left leg. She nailed double axe handles. Bayley charged in Charlotte. Charlotte into the corner. Charlotte moved and chop locked the leg of Bayley. Charlotte went to the outside, drove her leg into the post and to the sides of the ring. Then she brings her back into the ring, locks in the figure four. Woo! And then, what was quite impressive, she did a bridge in the figure four.
Yes, she did, and it was sick looking.
As I read on Twitter, she calls that the figure eight.
Okay.
And she was taunting The Miz and Dolph Ziggler, this is how you do the figure four.
There you go. There you go, Charlotte. Teach him how it's done.
So she applied more and more pressure onto Bayley. Bayley finally reversed the figure four, and Charlotte quickly got to the ropes. Charlotte goes for a knee. Bayley moves. Charlotte charges in. Bayley moves out of the way. Bayley goes on one leg, charges and nails her with shots in the corner. Bayley comes off the middle rope with a back elbow for a two count. Bayley goes for a slam. Charlotte escapes. Hits a neck breaker, and then the natural selection for the win. Your winner and still NXT Women's Champion is Charlotte. After the match, Charlotte celebrates. Bayley had time to get back up to her feet. And what was kind of really awesome is Charlotte basically told Bayley, "You made me better." Helped Bayley to her feet. Both women hugged and they shook hands in a sign of respect. And you see, as the match goes on, the series of matches goes on, Bayley continues to earn the respect of Charlotte, which is kind of an interesting story. And one of the other things I've liked about what's been going on is that the girls have been getting time to tell their story. This match got about 13 minutes, 13 strong minutes. There's one quick commercial break to really split up the match. But these girls got the time, they put in the effort, and it was a really, really good match. Again, unlike what we see on WWE TV, where, again, they have like 2 or 3 minutes to tell a story, these girls get time. We get a real feel of a wrestling match, real feel of a fight. And the 13 minutes they got tonight was really well done. The story they told, they let Bayley be the underdog. Charlotte was dominant working over the knee. Again, they told a great story, gave the girls time. And what you don't get to see on Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown is the aftermatch. And when the girls get time to, soak in a win. And these girls got time. Charlotte got time to soak in the win. And as I mentioned, she hugged Bayley, helped her to her feet. They shook hands. What do you think?
I agree. I thought this was a great match. Another classic from these two. They're only going to get better with time. And I love how the divas, or I should say the women in NXT, get time. And they try to do that for the girls on the main roster. It doesn't always happen, but they do try. But the difference between, I think, the main roster, obviously, and NXT is, two different ideologies. And one thing I love about NXT is that it's really Hunter's vision for what he wants to do to the WWE. It's how he wants to take the company forward. And so Hunter is really the driving force behind all the NXT talent, but especially the women. He is behind the women, and so is Stephanie, where they're pushing for these girls to get this time, to be able to go out there and wrestle, to be able to put on a show like the guys. Because you often hear the women from the past talk about how they were never given time, that it was basically they were just there for tits and ass, and that's it. And that idea is sort of dying out now, where they're letting the women wrestle, they're letting them put on a show, they're letting them perform on the same level of the guys, and they're really not afraid to let the women outperform the guys in some cases. Because some of them really can.
And they really can. I'm going to just jump in really quick. Out of every match on the show, this was the most enjoyable. This is the one I really got into the most. Not saying I didn't get into the main event, but I was more into this match than the main event.
This match, you have Bayley, who's the underdog, who's really hungry. She's very endearing to you. And then you have Charlotte, who, this is a different story than what they told at TakeOver. This was them coming in on equal footing, Bayley has earned Charlotte's respect, and Bayley got the match because of her tenacity, because Charlotte saw that she wanted it and she was hungry enough, and Charlotte had the respect for her finally to grant the match for her.
Right. And if we weren't on the air last week live to cover NXT, but if you haven't seen it, go watch Bayley versus Alexa Bliss. It's not the greatest match, but it's the cutest match ever.
Yeah, it's kind of adorable. It really, really, really is. I almost want them to be a tag team.
Like, in the middle of the match, they do a high five.
Yeah, it's adorable. Yeah. But kind of going back to what I was saying, I think they realize, and what would be really cool to me, this is going to be, I don't know why we're going on a female feminist rant on the show consistently throughout the night, but I kind of almost like thinking that they're maybe believing that their next top star may not be a guy. That their next top star could be a woman. Could, and that they're okay with that.
Could be, and the thing with the girls down at NXT, wins and losses, they matter.
Yes, they do. The title matters. It's treated as important. The women are treated as important. You have the women fighting over it, tooth and nail to get to it. And I love that. It's something that you don't see on the main roster right now, and I wish they would bring that up to the main roster. Maybe in time we will begin to see that. But I think that's what makes NXT so special, and what helps it to stand out is that, at least for the women, they're treated with a level of respect that they don't get on the main roster.
This is very, very true.
So for me, in terms of the show tonight, this is a great opener, wonderful way to kick off the show as we move forward to the next contest.
Victor versus Hideo Itami was the scheduled match, but Connor and Victor attacked Itami before the bell even rung. They just laid him out, stomped away, stomp, 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 big right hands. They came off the top rope and just dropped Itami. Basically, they just killed Hideo Itami in this one. Before the match even started, like, Hideo basically distracted Connor and Victor last week and cost them the NXT tag team title in the rematch against the Lucha Dragons. So this was their payback on Hideo Itami. He was checked out by trainers, and that's where that was left.
Yes.
They're progressing the feud. I like it.
They're progressing the feud. It was a really nice beatdown. So, yeah.
And here's the thing with what's been happening on NXT. They're continuing storylines week after week. It's like, for a while there, it was just different people, different people, different people. We're getting a consistent story going on, at least more than we were before.
Yes, we're getting more feuds. We're seeing people get tangled up with each other, and they're more long-term, which is really nice. And there's a nice level of consistency within the NXT that I enjoy.
Same here. Now we get a little sneak peek of a little bit of a training session, because for those unaware, Carmella is being trained by Enzo Amore, because, well, he got her fired after the liquid dumped on Fifi, the poodle, and became hairless, and, well, she got fired. So, well, they're trying to get her a job. Well, she wants a job in NXT, and, well, the first thing is a little bit of a training session right now.
Yo, Cass, hit the lights. Come on.
All right, I got you, bro. Up.
What are you, some damn bed lights?
We're here at the WWE Performance Center, and nobody's home. We're about to see if the Princess of Staten Island has got what it takes.
This is where the magic happens.
Come on, let's go.
And I will teach you everything I know.
Well, that ain't too much, so this shouldn't take too long.
I know what I know, and dog, that's all I know.
Come on, I don't got all night. Let's go.
And you're going to learn today. All right?
Come on.
All right, take it easy. Back up. Okay? Go in gentle. So now, hand right here. Hand right here. And then I take your little hand, and I put it right here.
Oh, my God. Stop.
Can't teach
move.
That.
Oh, harsh.
Come on, let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Ooh, yes. A little girl. Nice try.
Okay.
Enough!
Right. Two times!
Two times. How you doing?
How you doing, huh?
Did that just happen?
Yes, indeed it did.
Don't post that one.
Don't worry, I won't.
Oops. What happened was she drop kicked him out of the ring.
I kind of like Carmella.
Kind of like it. I found it funny how they worked all their lines in. How you doing? You can't teach that. And soft into the promo.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
fun little segment. Last week's was funny too. So they're working on stuff. So I like it. Carmella's kind of going to be an interesting character. She plays a nice role with these guys.
I like how she didn't take any of the crap. Go Carmella.
Speaking of not taking any crap, Baron Corbin versus Troy McClain. All I wanted to say was Troy McClure every time.
Thank you! I'm not the only one! They started to go, Troy I'm like, McClure?
McClure?
McClure.
Oh, no, it's McClain. Oh. Yeah, I thought I was like, McClure? Man, that one brain thing, it's so scary. Anyway, both men locked up. Corbin with a quick back elbow shoves him to the corner. Corbin with a big right hand knocking down McClain down to the canvas. Hits the end of days for the win. Quick, simple, to the point. Baron Corbin wins.
I like Baron Corbin.
Gotta see more of him.
I gotta see more of him, but as he grows and as he improves, I think they've got something.
He has the size where he could do some damage.
And he has really pretty tattoos. I mean, like, really pretty. He's got a good artist.
So, that's a fact?
Sure, why not?
Because that transitions to Mr. Fact.
Okay, that works.
Last chance match versus Adrian Neville for the IC Championship. What goes through your mind when you hear last chance?
I've been saying it for a very long time. All I need is one last chance at Adrian Neville, one-on-one. No Tyler Breeze, no Sami Zayn, no disrespect, but no William Regal. Myself, Adrian Neville, the NXT Championship. This is the opportunity I've been waiting months for.
Speaking of William Regal, there's buzz along the locker room saying that you only got this opportunity because of your wife speaking with William Regal.
Well, Tyson, it's kind of true that, yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just pointing that out.
That's the only reason you did get this main event opportunity. Just want to point that one out. So, that was one promo. And then, really quickly, we hear from the Legionnaires.
Do you even see what you've done to us? Enzo, Cassidy, we challenge you next week to a match. And I can promise you that we will get our revanche.
Marcus, by the way, you want to try this one on?
Revenge!
Okay, Marcus. Tone it down. Just a little bit. Tone it down.
Gave him a gray wig. Gray hair wig.
It's probably like a little powdered wig.
Probably. So, there you go. The Ustreamer, wow, that's so old school. The Wild Talk Raider user in the chat room was McClure introduced as, you may remember him from such matches as, no, sadly, he was not introduced from such matches as the one with Christian Cage.
Actually, he kind of reminded me of, like, Simon Dean, just in his look. Which, how scary is that?
I can see it. Our next contest of the evening, the Vaudevillains take on Ty Dillinger and Jason Jordan, and the Vaudevillains got new music.
I don't like their music. I want the happy music back. I don't like how it goes into like this dark, spooky music, like William Ringel's old music. Just have it be the happy piano music, because that works so much better.
Ditto. She stole my rant.
Ha ha! stole some of your tweets, too.
I bet you did. Anyway, so English is time to let you start things up. And English is like, put up your dukes. So he puts up his dukes. They fight. Ty charges in English with a quick roll-up on villains with a double team on Ty when Simon Gotch got tagged in. Jason comes in and gets taken out quickly. Ty takes control and tags it. Jordan lifts up Gotch and drives him right into the corner hard. Starts just working him over. The vaudevillains finally take back control with a big knee and a swinging neckbreaker. English, though, gets sent into the bottom rope and Ty tags back in. He takes down the knee pad, drives the hard knee into the head. Ow! And then start mocking Simon Gotch with muscles and stuff. There was a quick two count at one point as he continued to mock Gotch. English with a quick roll-up as he got tagged in. Gotch comes in, starts to clean house. Gotch had a tie up on his shoulders. Ty got back up and got quickly taken out by a back elbow. Jordan ran in, got hit with an airplane spin. And then Ty gets hit with the airplane spin from Simon Gotch, who does a barrel roll, followed by English with the senton. Your winners, the Vaude Villains.
Yay!
Solid match. The Vaude Villains, again, I don't like their music.
Yeah, the Mew music just doesn't really do much for me.
No, it's not as awesome. Takes away from the characters, like, oh, alright. It's not as awesome. And then, out of the blue, Titus O'Neil appears in the crowd to watch the main event.
Oh, goody.
Hideo is backstage being checked on by a trainer. And then SmackDown number one announcer Funaki showed up. He congratulated Hideo on his debut. Says, you're tough, but he's a little worried. But Funaki will have his back. Because he's SmackDown number one announcer.
He's just amazing. It makes me so happy Funaki is back. I've missed him so dearly.
Then we heard from Bailey.
Hi, Bailey.
Hi.
Now, you must be pretty disappointed not walking away with the Women's Championship tonight in your rematch.
I am disappointed. But I'm not done. I know there are people and there are girls that look up to me. And if I quit, then they quit. And every time I get in the ring with Charlotte, I get better and I get closer to becoming the NXT Women's Champion.
Oh! Oh, poor little Bailey. You messed up your opportunity. And when I finally get my shot at Charlotte, I am going to show the world why I am the baddest boss in NXT.
So something going on right there for the Miss BFF, the boss, Sasha Banks.
Sasha's looking, you know, she wants her title opportunity. She wants to be the women's champion. That's what I'm saying. The girls in NXT are just as hungry for the title as the guys, which is always amazing to see. You have them mixing it up backstage, being each other's faces, getting in each other's throats. I love the title picture.
It feels very real.
Yes. Unlike the, you know, the girls on the main roster, you don't really see them doing that. You don't see them fighting over the title like that. We've seen that more with AJ and Paige, but not to the degree of attacking each other backstage like this.
Right.
So, it's being handled much more like the guys would handle something, and I like that. That you're having the girls be more aggressive and go after it, and it's like, if you want it, you have to take it. And not stand around and wait for it to happen.
Exactly. Main event time, NXT Championship, Adrian Neville, Tyson Kidd. Good competitive match, both men start to feel each other early. They go back and forth with a lot of chain wrestling. We got a here we go, Tyson, here we go, type chant for Tyson Kidd. They continue to work over each other's arms. Kidd finally took control with big knife-edge chops in the corner. And you heard the sound of one and went, ow, my chest. Neville comes back with chops of his own and then back by a chop, followed by a big running drop kick. Leading to a one count. Do it for Natty. Tyson was some fan said that was picked up. Neville chases Kidd around the ring. Neville trips him up as trips up Kidd and then kicks him right in the chest as he ran across the ring apron. Come back from break and Neville is working over the arm of Kidd. Kidd fights back up to his feet, a reverse of an Irish whip. But Kidd tripped up Neville and connected with a kick right to the face for one count. Kidd then chokes Neville in the corner with the ropes, lays in shots. Kidd then locked in an armbar submission, which was really nice, and Neville was trying to power out a bunch of times. It took like 3 times before he was able to break it with a big power bomb type thing. So he powered out. Both men slow to get back up to their feet. Kidd charged in. Neville nailed him with a back elbow and hard chops of his own and a few kicks. Neville runs over Kidd with shots and a quick drop kick. Neville goes for a back elbow, came with the ropes. Kidd with a spin kick for a 2 count. Kidd goes for a German. Neville blocks back elbow, sunset flip, roll up, followed by a drop kick and a big kick by Tyson Kidd, and then followed by a nice sweet like suplex neck breaker thing by Tyson Kidd. Like the announcers were putting it over like they haven't seen him before, and I was kind of very impressed. Both men trade shots. Neville charged in, takes back elbow, but nails Kidd with a big kick. Well, he was on the top rope. Neville gets to the top rope. Fans start chanting for, "Let's go, Neville. Neville sucks." And then cheering for both men. Kidd went for a sunset flip powerbomb, but Neville landed on his feet. Big drop kick. And then a sit-down powerbomb for a long 2 count. Both men struggle back up to their feet. Neville goes to the top rope for the red arrow, but Kidd stops him on the top rope. Gets knocked down. Neville goes for a shooting star. Lands on his feet. Springboard by Kidd. Neville went for a drop kick though, but countered in midair sort of, and puts in the sharpshooter. Neville finally gets to the ropes, but I like that spot. That was right creative. Neville's trapped in the ropes, but ends up pulling down the ropes. Kidd comes back up, runs over to Neville. Kidd goes to dive, but Neville kicks him in the head. Titus though yanks Neville by the hair on the outside. Referee didn't see it. Zane shows up, kicks with a Yakuza kick right, or a Hulula kick right to Titus, knocking him out over the guardrail. So we're about 9 count. The referee's counting out Neville. Neville finally gets in the ring. Neville was cheering him on. Zane was cheering him on. Neville finally beats the count. Kidd puts Neville on the top rope. Goes for a superplex. Neville reverses. Knocks him off the top rope. Red Arrow, your winner. And still NXT champion, Adrian Neville.
And speaking of winners, it is final between Green Bay and the Vikings. Green Bay 42, Minnesota 10. And Clay Matthews, you have such pretty hair. Always, always, always shoot Clay Matthews from the back. Just saying. And as far as the match goes, this was a good match. I mean, I can't say anything bad about it. I had a hard time holding my interest with it. Just because it's like they've done the Neville Kidd feud so much. That it's like, yeah, it's a great match, and it's just, it doesn't do anything for me anymore, you know?
The girls' match was better.
The girls' match was really better.
It had my interest. Because, Neville sort of turned heel at TakeOver, so you're not fully behind him as a babyface anymore, and Tyson's a heel, so you really had no real rooting interest, kind of, sort of. But, like, in the women's match, you were rooting for Bayley to come back and fight and get up and that sort of thing. At least that's me.
Yeah, it seemed more realistic that Bayley had a shot of beating Charlotte, whereas everybody kind of figured Neville was going to win because they're not going to put the title on Tyson Kidd.
And now he can get no more title shot when Neville's champ.
Nope.
And Sami Zayn was there like, I'm just helping. I just took out Titus. I wasn't here to help you. And then they had a look at Neville and Zayn. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, I saw a tweet or a post on Tumblr or something that somebody basically said, Sami Zayn is going to be right there with Adrian Neville every day haunting him to make sure he doesn't lose that title so Zayn can take it off him.
I read that. I was on Tumblr, I read that. So there you go. Fun show. Very fun show. Again, the women's match was impressive.
Yes. Very impressive.
So, on that note, I say we go to break, and we come back ranting and stuff.
Yes, we are going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking, of course, about our question of the night, which is, what is your favorite SmackDown moment, because SmackDown 15 is coming up. We have Tweet of the Week, and yes, we are going to be talking all about the Wyatt rumors, because it's not the show unless we talk about the Wyatt family, and which is, by the way, trending on Yahoo right now. So everybody found out about what we're about to talk about. So you don't want to miss that. Rants are coming. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNAsylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Hey, did you know that CB Radio is all over social media? Well, now you do, bitch asses. We are all over Facebook and Twitter. When it comes to Facebook, it's simple. Just go to facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. All one word. It's not that difficult. Go ahead, enter it in your website address, fucking go to it, even search for it if you're really that lazy. Go to Facebook, search up at the top cigarette butts and bandanas. You know, it's not that difficult to find us and like us. Come on, you listen to us every week. Just fucking give us a like. We're all over Twitter, too. Every single one of us is on Twitter. You can follow the show at CB Radio WTR. That's the letter R, you know, Q-R-S. I just can't pronounce it. You know, I'm from Boston. Suit my bitches. After you follow the show, be sure to follow me, the Boston Badass himself, at Mr. Chris Loesch, L-O-E-S-C-H. All one word. That's in case you didn't know how to spell my last name. You can follow Rob Pox, you know, the godfather of extreme, at CB Radio G-O-E. And you can even follow Subway, who actually has got Twitter. He has a smartphone now and is on Twitter. So you can follow him, and hopefully he makes a little bit more sense there than he does on air, at X-Core Subway. Not that difficult, was it, people? Now stay a part of the fun and excitement that happens off the air, just as well as you do on the air, every Saturday night at midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm Santino Morella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion, eh? Of all the time!
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your wrestling action figure needs. And yes, we are in the second half of the show, coming back to Marilyn Manson's Beautiful People, the SmackDown remix, which is probably my most favorite SmackDown theme they ever did. I was so sad when they got rid of it.
Beautiful People.
It just got you in the mood for wrestling, you
know? It did.
Just an awesome song. Like, they had that stretch for a while where they had a really good, like, song for SmackDown and a really good song for Raw, and then they just, yeah. They have what they have now, which... Nah. But, anyway, before we get to that, let's do Two of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on my space, until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter, until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So you stole my tweets, you say?
I probably stole some of your tweets, but yeah, before... I forgot to tell you this when I was telling you about the wedding, before we do the Tweet of the Week. I was sitting at the wedding, we had just gone into the reception, and the DJ started playing the legit version of this song, which this is a cover, obviously.
Jason Mars?
Yeah, something like that.
It's called
Start
I'm Yours.
Playing the legit song.
It's called I'm Yours, and yes, you told me about that.
Yeah, but I'm just... Yeah. I was sitting at the reception, and I heard the guitar part, and I started laughing, and started singing the Tweet of the Week version at the reception. And everybody looked at me like I was nuts. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's when I received a text from her. They're playing the Tweet of the Week song.
It's like I can't escape my show. It's everywhere.
It's like, I just busted out laughing when she told me that. Because of that, we have background music.
We have background music?
Yeah. The real song. It's a Tweet of the Week.
I just found it funny that it's like, there it is, right there, you know, at this wedding that, you know, was all the way up in Rhode Island or Massachusetts or wherever the hell we were at that point. I have no idea what state I was in. I was in like 4 states in a day. I have no idea where the hell I was. So anyway, Tweets of the Week. And they're all AJ Lee. I'm starting to think my sim is just deliberately setting itself on fire now.
One.
Which, quite frankly, is just a little bit ungrateful considering how long it took me to build its beach house.
Two.
I've been up before 6 a.m. watching HGTV 3 days in a row because my brain hates sleep, but loves Home Improvement.
That's funny. I didn't have that one.
I just went from complete silence to singing Hot Pockets out loud. I don't know what just happened to me.
Hot Pockets tweeted her.
I'm sure they did. That's okay at Real Page WWE. Just wait till you face the team of... Never mind. I don't have friends. My entire day off has just been a Buffy marathon and coffee and pancakes in bed because I have the best husband in the world. Open up your plans, a damn young freak. Look into your
heart and you'll find love, love. Is that it?
That's it. That's all I got.
Hot Pockets tweeted, "We go from complete silence to singing your name at least twice a day. Hashtag Dream Girl."
Aww. So, somebody's a wrestling fan.
Somebody is a wrestling fan. Alright, here we go, since she stole two. The fake ESPN goes, Manning's parents tell Eli if he keeps this up, they'll have to stop telling people he was adopted. Tony Romo and Eli Manning clearly nominate Kirk Cousins for the ALS Interception Challenge. That was horrible last week. Fake John Madden. Anyway. Fox Sports, NFL. Appears as if the Raiders do not mix well with tea and crumpets. Hashtag Miami vs. Oakland. The fake ESPN. London wondering why the NFL sent out an SEC East team to play the Dolphins in Wembley Stadium. Ouch. John Clark, CSN. Dear Saints, thanks for Darren Sproles and Malcolm Jenkins. At Eagles fans. Yes. We are happy for them. Ruben Frank. Casey Matthews follows a rare positive play with another tackle whiff. This is Ruben Frank. Mike Hill. Kerry Williams could use a little bit more practice, huh? As I'm taking shots at my own team. Anyway. Not SportsCenter. Christian ponders final stats. This was for Sunday night tonight. Zero completions. Zero passing yards. One rushing yards. Nine handoffs. Attempted turnovers. One. Panties dropped, 817,714.
Like a boss.
Like a boss. Katie Nolan, I bet a whole lot of money that Jason Garrett's headset isn't actually hooked up to anything. That's usually probably true. Solomon Crowe, Raw just went Nickelodeon. Green slime is hard, a hard stain to get out. Colt Cabana, it looks like Seth Rollins just blew a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Wrestlers say. So wait, Rollins takes a load in the face and he's not able to compete? Does that mean the Divas can use that excuse now? Kyle Edwards, the former Arda O'Cal. Who'd the bunny ever meet? Said the gobbledygooker. David Bixman. Dean, he's staring at your girlfriend's boobs. Stop him! Hashtag Raw. And the following are millennial TV shows. Family Matters, less than my blog. Flintstoners, How I iPhoned Your Mother. Saved by the Ringtone. Hash Tags, get it? S-H-A-S-H, like MASH. That was actually clever. Dora, I've never heard of the Internet Explorer. How I Met Your Student Loan Officer. 8 Simple Rules for Baiting My Teenage Daughter. Clarissa explains practically nothing but takes a lot of selfies. How I Met Your Mother Online. House of Cards Against Humanity. Awesome. I love Cards Against Humanity. Listen to us play every Saturday. Sabrina the Teenage Bitch. Are You Afraid of the Dark? No, I have a cell phone. Because they're a Wyatt fan. The Secret Website of Alex Mack. Boy Meets Webcam. My So-Called Second Life. The Dick Pick Van Dyke Show, Salute Your Shorts That You Had Before Was Cool, and Law & Order AOL. Tweet of the Week.
Alright, well, now, do we want to do SmackDown 15 or do we just want to jump into the rant?
Let's end on SmackDown.
They're breaking up my family! I've held that in for like 2 hours. Just he's just gonna let me go. Okay, so if you haven't
like
heard,
what am I gonna say at this point? I'm just gonna sit here and play super card and let you go.
You're so helpful.
No, I'm here. I'm paying. I just put the iPad down. Go ahead. Let's go.
Yeah. Sure you did. Sure.
Do I need to take a picture?
No, you don't.
Okay. Well, I would need to anyway.
No selfies on the show. So, They're breaking up the Wyatt family. That's the rumor that's going around. If you saw Raw this past Monday night, if you watch SmackDown tomorrow, we all saw a very, very, very different promo for the Wyatt family that includes Bray Wyatt setting, in quotations, Luke Harper free. So this is the first indication that they are potentially splitting the Wyatt family up, or at least splitting Luke off of the Wyatt family for a singles push. And while I'm really, really super happy Luke Harper is going to be potentially getting a singles push, I absolutely believe he deserves it. I'm really scared to death that they're going to break up the Wyatt family. For a variety of reasons. And none of them are just because I love the Wyatts and they give me life. I actually have bullet points. Aren't you proud of me?
Yeah, I'm just waiting to jump in when you're done.
I think the first problem for me is obviously there are several rumors going around as to what's going to happen. And the biggest question of all is, well, if they all go their separate ways, which is one of the rumors, what the hell do you do with Eric?
Slater sheep.
No, no, no. We are not putting Eric and Slater together. That's just not going to happen.
Slater sheep.
But that was the question I raised to Rock the other night, because I was sitting here thinking about it, and it's like, if Luke goes off on a singles career, he'll be fine. Bray will go off on a singles career, he will be fine. Eric is the only one that really has a question mark, because Eric is probably the least developed of the three in terms of character, in terms of in-ring. He's gotten a lot better in the ring since he's been up on the main roster, but I don't believe he's as strong as Luke or Bray.
No, he's not. He's very weak compared to the other two. And that's because he's not as well experienced. When Luke Harkemer came in, he was destined to be on the main roster because he's been around the independent scene for a while and he has all the talent in the world. He has size and talent. And they knew he would be a really good star in the company. And Bray Wyatt is the perfect example of why the NXT Performance Center works.
Right. Exactly. And also it doesn't help that both Luke and Bray can talk and they can connect to the audience. Eric, we have not seen talk as much. When he has, it's been very short and to the point. And so that's the $64,000 question, is can Eric Rowan cut a promo? Nobody really knows. So if you have Luke and Bray go off on their separate directions, Eric may not do as well as them. He may do wonderfully. We don't know. But it kind of stands to reason that Eric may flop because of that. So it's like, is that really what you want to do? Is, you know, sacrifice one person for the sake of the other two?
For starters,
follow the buzzer.
The most words he's ever spoken.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, it was rare to find that 3-second clip of him saying three words, because usually it's run.
Unless you watch a Norwegian TV show called Alt for Norge.
We're not getting into Alt for Norge.
And then you can hear Eric Rowan talk all you want, and he's the most lovable, adorable dork you will ever see in your life. But that was before Bray got him, so.
That was before Bray got him. And
he was such a happy guy before Bray got him.
And Bray makes him say,
follow the buzzer.
That's so, basically it. Yeah. That's the problem. Here's my main complaint. We'll circle back. It's all circles together, sort of, kind of. They had so much left to do together.
Oh, I agree.
Like, this is the wrong time to break up the boys. It's a wrong time to do so, because there's so much potential left. And you're breaking them up in a point where they're cold. They haven't done much in the last couple months. If it's one thing, if they are red hot and you want to take advantage of that. But right now they've cooled off. So breaking them off where there was no real tension, there was no real struggle. It's just sort of Bray Wyatt setting his boy free, and probably on Monday we're going to get a promo where he's setting Eric Rowan free. I already have that feeling.
God, I hope not. And circling back to Eric, it's, you know, if you want to kind of tell the story, it's you don't necessarily have Brace at Eric Free, but it's something of, to go back to the Eric Rowan character for a second, because I wasn't quite done there.
That's why I circled back to him.
The other side of that, the way that they play the characters, Eric Rowan as a character is entirely dependent on either Luke or Bray. He needs, the way that he plays it, the way that they've always played it, is he needs someone to guide him. There's clearly something wrong with Eric Rowan, where he just needs that helping hand, because it's, in some cases, the way that he plays it, he has the mentality of a 6-year-old. A psychotic 6-year-old.
Yeah, he...
like, a violent, psychotic 6-year-old.
Like, in any scenario, it's like you think childish actions from Eric Rowan. It's just the way, because the way he just walks around and he just stares and...
Well, it's more, it's also he... He makes grabby hands at things. He has to be guided. He has to... You know, it's like I can vividly recall him in the ring and Bray yelling at him to stop playing around and stop messing around and finish the job. And it's something of, Eric, Luke's done. Luke, whatever Bray did to Luke, it's worked. He's done. Eric has always kind of been that in-between stage where he's not a sheep anymore. He's come into Bray's world. Bray is indoctrinating him with his ideologies, but he still has to wear the sheep mask because he isn't on Luke's level yet, where he's completely indoctrinated into the family. He still has to kind of be watched. He has to have somebody look after him. And 9 times out of 10, that person that looks after him is Luke. If you've ever watched the Wyatts, if you've ever paid attention to the characters, Eric does not do a lot of interaction with Bray. In fact, Eric usually doesn't even look Bray in the eye.
Yeah.
It's always Eric defers to Luke, and Luke defers to Bray. Now, Eric will defer to Bray, but that's only if he and Bray are left by themselves. Like, again, vividly remembering Luke Harper getting thrown out of the match where Eric's in the ring, and Eric has this look of panic on his face, because he's getting left alone, but he's getting left alone with Bray. And he has that oh shit moment where it's, what am I going to do?
Right.
So if you want to tell kind of the story and you want to have the tension, you have, you know, rather than Bray setting Eric free, it's Eric could follow Luke instead of Bray, and Bray tries to punish him. Or you just have Bray tell Eric to, you know, to fuck off and go with Luke. I mean, he has to go with somebody. That's the thing. It's like, if you just put him out in the world as a singles, it doesn't work.
He's not a singles wrestler. He's a tag team wrestler. Because there's some guys in wrestling that are singles guys. And some guys who are strictly tag team guys. And Eric Rowan is big enough to be a, basically a bodyguard type size character for a tag team. He's that size.
Yeah, it's just something. And this isn't a shot at Eric. It's just the way, it's all thinking about the character and how they play the character. And Eric Rowan as a character, at least right now, is not designed to stand on his own. He's designed to either be Bray Wyatt's muscle or Luke Harper's tag team partner. One or the other. So it's like you almost have to leave Eric with either Bray or have him go with Luke to help continue it on, and I just don't think that's going to happen with the way that they want it. Like, if you just split all three of them together, and suddenly Eric Rowan finds himself on his own, it's not going to work, because it's like he's a big creepy dude in a sheet mask that nobody really understands what's going on.
That makes no sense. That's the bottom line. It makes no sense.
And that's the other thing. It doesn't make any sense. It's like, it's like I was telling Rock, it's, if you want to give Luke a singles push, fine, give Luke the singles push. Don't do it at the expense of the family. Just because, like we said, they haven't reached their full potential. There is so much you could do with the Wyatt family that they haven't done. And a lot of that has come at the expense of the title picture in particular. Mm-hmm. Bray Wyatt's push got halted in its tracks pretty much because they had to make him lose to Cena to get Cena ready to take the title so Cena could drop the title to Brock. So see, the Wyatts really kind of got sacrificed. They had the opportunity with the boys, at the very least, to put the tag team titles on them for a little bit, have them carry those titles through to SummerSlam. They could have easily dropped them at either SummerSlam or Night of Champions to Goldust and Stardust. Wouldn't have been a problem. And legitimize the boys. Instead, you put them on a losing streak. And what they really did was they really killed the Wyatt momentum as a whole. And as Rock said, they really cooled them down. They've gone almost cold at this point. They still get the reaction with the lights. People are clamoring to see them. They get a reaction. And it's just, I think a lot of people are not ready to see them split. Just because it's like there's so many stories that you could tell just with the Wyatts themselves. It's like you have, you know, just outside of wrestling, and there's not saying that they could do this in the future, but just outside of wrestling, you have a horror franchise sitting in front of you. You could do with a lot with the Wyatts in terms of the WWE studio stuff. You could build a whole franchise around them if you really wanted to.
You could.
You could do stuff for the network, shows for the network with them. But it's something of, it's like, if you really want to tell those stories, it's, I want to see the story where it's like either Bray has that crisis of faith and Luke has to take over, and then there's suddenly a challenge, or there's suddenly a challenge for Bray's leadership, where it's Bray Wyatt can't get the job done, Luke Harper steps up to challenge Bray, and Bray has to knock him down. And Eric, in the meantime, is kind of left on both sides in the middle where he's trying to just keep it all together. Or it's like you have them test it. And it's like I look at what they did with the Shield. And I look at how long the Shield were together. And that's really the benchmark for factions in WWE now, is how long the Shield have been together. And they took their good sweet time to break the Shield apart. And it's something of breaking the Wyatts apart so soon just doesn't feel right. It's like I said, there's so much that you could do with them if you just gave them the chance. And I think a lot of what is driving this as well is the fact that pretty much the majority of the people it's thought of that worked with the Wyatts are now gone. They got let go in the budget cuts, they've left, whatever. But the people who obviously were working with the Wyatts are now gone. Because those budget cuts happened and that push died.
Very coincidental, isn't it? It just seems like that lined up together.
Just a little bit, you know, and I know that they're very high on Luke, as they should be, and he absolutely 100% deserves a singles run. Bray deserves a singles run. But it's like you've had the opportunity to build them up, and that's the other thing, is it's like Luke, as a singles, he's proven, but he's not. And it's like, I don't know, the whole thing just feels incredibly unnatural. Like, if you just have the family drift apart, that's fine. Like, that's natural. Where the family goes, kind of what they were already doing, where Bray is off on his own, Luke and Eric are off on their own, kind of doing their own thing, but they always get to come back together as a family when they need to. And that's really kind of almost how, if you want to do a split with the Wyatt family, you do that where maybe Luke and Eric start to drift apart, and or Eric hangs back a little bit more from Luke. Like, kind of circling back to my other point, because I now remember what it was. Like, if you want to break Luke off and you want to have him do a singles run, great. You could have Bray and Eric off in the distance watching and making sure that he doesn't need them, because they're family. Like, that's the big thing about this whole deal. They're the Wyatt family. They're never far from each other. And in the beginning, they were all always together. Bray always came to the ring with the kids, and the kids always came to the ring with Bray. That's how it works. And they kind of stopped doing that, especially when Bray started getting a singles push, which is fine. But it's like, if you want to do that with Luke, bring that back and have Bray and Eric maybe watching from afar and just keeping their eyes on Luke and out for Luke and trying to protect him. Like, it's just, it feels incredibly unnatural that Bray Wyatt, who is a cult leader, who has to be in control at all times, is just suddenly like, be free, my son, and go off into the world and destroy it.
And who's to say that's not the right idea? Let him go. Let him roam free. Let him loose. Unchain the beast that is Luke Harper. Let him roam. Let him destroy. But he's still a Wyatt. Everyone's going to know him as a Wyatt. He's not, you can't change, unless you shave his head and shave his beard, he's Luke Harper of the Wyatt family. He's not going to change. Everybody's going to continue to call him Luke Harper of the Wyatt family. That's who he is. It's awesome that Luke Harper's going to get a singles run. It should happen. But it should happen under the umbrella of the Wyatt family. Let's talk about D-Generation X and the Attitude Era. Were there tag teams? Yeah. Were there singles guys? Yeah. Did everyone have a singles run at some point as a member of DX? Did X-Pac have one? Yeah. Did Billy Gunn? Yeah. Did Road Dogg? Yeah. Hunter? Yeah. But they were DX. They were always DX until the faction split. But they had a purpose to splitting because Hunter turned on them and they broke up the band. You look at the Four Horsemen. They had a tag team. They had two singles guys. And at points, the singles guys, the tag guys had singles runs. So why can't you do it with a Wyatt family? There's a legacy that could be built with the Wyatt family. A real, legit legacy. And they haven't scratched the surface. And you look around the WWE, and you look at all the characters in there. These guys are unique. There's something special. And then you decide, oh, because we have nothing for them together, let's break them up, because that always works well.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like I was saying, you know, if you want to give Luke the singles run, great. Give it to him. But let the family always be close.
Just let him be part of the Wyatt family as Luke Harper, the singles guy. Let him fight Sheamus and people like that and just be the brute force. Let him bring something home to the family.
Right, I mean... Sorry, go ahead.
No, continue.
I was just going to say, you know, it's like, what's stopping him from going out and winning the U.S. title or the Intercontinental title or even, you know, the World Heavyweight Championship and bringing that back to Bray Wyatt so Bray Wyatt can have that power? Because I think that's kind of been lost, is it's like you really set Bray Wyatt on this path at Money in the Bank where you finally had Bray Wyatt going for power.
Right.
You had him going for a title. You had him driving at a title. Just like you had Rowan and Harper pointed at the tag team titles, and they didn't follow through on those. And it's like, I still to this day believe that was a huge mistake. It's like, if you gave them those tag titles, gave them a little run with them, and gave Bray Wyatt that power, that would give them something to do. Even if Bray's embroiled in a singles feud with Chris Jericho, which, let's be honest, it was not that great. We got some good matches out of it, but it fell to the wayside.
There were good moments, good matches, but it never was a feud.
It was never a feud. It was never the feud that it could have been.
And it's their own fault. And going back to the tag title thing, it's like, you want to know why they've lost momentum? It's because you guys killed their momentum. Like that. Again,
yeah, having them lose did not help them at all.
That's the problem in WWE right now. When something's hot, they learn to kill the momentum really, really fast. And it's like, don't kill the momentum. They're actually doing something and doing it very, very well. If you just let it grow and you saw the people getting behind them, look at how people react to them. Every time they come out, there's a reaction. It's because people are interested. And they're interested not just as Luke Harper, not just as Eric Rowan, not just as Bray Wyatt. They're introduced as the Wyatt family. That's who they are. And people like it.
I think if you look at them, and I told you this the other night, I believe in my heart of hearts what it is when you look at Bray Wyatt, when you look at Luke Harper, when you look at Eric Rowan, they represent the everyday person.
Uh-huh.
You could literally run into any of those guys on the street. Sans sheet mask. You know, they could be the guy that comes over to fix your sink. You could run into them at a gas station. It's something that they've done such a nice job of making themselves look like just a normal, regular person that has happened to show up at a wrestling show. Mm-hmm. To wrestle. and I think that's how people are a lot of, you know, really kind of connecting to them is it's, hey, they look like me. They're not this, you know, huge jacked up guy with all these muscles that, you know, I could never possibly be. You know, Bray Wyatt's 6'4", he's got a gut and beard and long hair. And it's like, you know, that's half of the South right there. No offense to Bray, but it's true. I mean, that's the thing is, it's like, when you look at the Wyatt family, it's like, there's such a believability to it. Because it's, like I said, you could run into a guy that looks like Bray Wyatt walking down the street. And it's completely believable. And that's what I think has that specialness to it, is they are 100% believable in the characters. Like, when you look at Bray Wyatt, you know, you believe he's Bray Wyatt. When you look at Luke Harper, you believe he's Luke Harper. And when you look at Eric Rowan, you believe he's Eric Rowan. You believe they are a family. You believe that they are this cult, or whatever they are. You believe it. That's the thing. Like, it's done so well that it's 100% believable, and that's something in the product right now that nobody else really has.
They're believable, and they're also intriguing.
They get your attention, and they hold it. And it's something of, it's like, just splitting them up is not the right idea. It's not the right course to go. Now, if you have Bray Wyatt have a crisis, fine. If you have Luke Harper challenge Bray Wyatt, and Bray's got to knock him back down, fine. If you want to tease that tension, fine.
But there is no tension. There is no crisis. It's just, oh, hey, we're moving in a different direction.
And it's...
And you have this video game called WWE 2K15 where they're all featured in together. Bray Wyatt says in an interview, yeah, I'm undefeatable in the game because Harper and Rowan jump on the apron every time I get pinned.
Right. It's...
It's the wrong time. It's Halloween. It's the wrong time. You don't break them up now. I could say a year from now, if you want to start splitting them apart, okay, I can understand it, but you didn't scratch a surface. You didn't give them the run they deserve to have as a group.
And they need that. It's like, just give them one more run.
And the problem is, there's no competition. That's half the issue. There's no competition for the Wyatts, so they figured, okay, let's break them apart because we have no one to put them against. Well, whose fault's that? Oh, yeah,
you know what?
I know creative.
Here's the thing, all right? Let's look at the Wyatts' last feud. And when I say the Wyatts, I mean Rowan and Harper. Let's look at that last feud, if you want to call it that, okay? They worked with Big Show and Mark Henry. And you jobbed them out, week in and week out, to Big Show and Mark Henry.
For what?
For what? To break up Big Show and Mark Henry so they could both go on to feud with Rusev?
And then eventually probably feud with each other.
And eventually feud with each other.
Because that's what we want to see in 2014.
It's like, here's the thing. If you wanted to do squash matches for Mark Henry and Big Show, you have a ton of other guys back there. This goes back to the same point with Cena as well. It's like, if you want to do squash matches, don't use the Wyatt family to do it. These guys are supposed to be the most terrifying guys on the roster. They're big, they're furry, they don't shower, and you're supposed to be afraid of them. That's the whole point of the gimmick. If you are not afraid of the Wyatts, which they've never really done, and that's something that's always kind of hurt them to begin with, it doesn't work. Bray Wyatt's supposed to be a scary guy. He's supposed to be something that literally comes out of your nightmares. And they've never quite established that correctly. But it's like, you take these guys and you put them against Big Show and Henry, and you job them out to them every time. It's like, if that's going to be the point, you know what? You got guys back in the back that can do that just as well or better than the Wyatts.
It's a 3-man. It's Slater Gator.
You know, Slater Gator. What? You know, somebody else. You create a tag team. Whatever. But it's like, you just completely kill their momentum in one shot by continuously jobbing them out. And then it's like, oh, well, there's no competition. Well, gee, I wonder why. Because you basically took them from being a credible, legit threat to being a joke in a matter of a week. And it's like, you know what? If you build them back up again and you build them back into a credible threat, that will do you wonders. But they're not going to do that. And the flip side of this is, it's like, okay, you split Luke Harper off. Fine. Great. You still have to establish him as a credible threat. Because he's coming off a losing streak.
Yeah.
You're still going to have to reestablish Bray Wyatt as a credible threat. Because, again, coming off a losing streak of Cena, and while he beat Chris Jericho, the wins against Chris Jericho were not as impressive as they could have been. Because the feud just was not given the time that it deserved.
And he had an awkward start-stop feud with Big Show.
Yes, yes he did. So it's something of... It's like, if you're going to do it, it almost makes sense just to keep them together right now. Rebuild them, like Rock said, give them one more run, give them one more shot, and then you split them apart. That's what makes sense. Build them back up, reestablish them as the threats that they are, and then you split them apart. And it's like, you know what? If you can't find competition for the Wyatt family, guess what? Go back to the agenda of Bray Wyatt wants to burn down the world, and you just have him go after everybody until somebody finally stands up to him. Whether it's Dean Ambrose, whether it's Randy Orton who does a face turn, whether it's John Cena again, God forbid, you know, whatever. You know, or whoever. It's like you have the Wyatts terrorize people until somebody finally stands up to them.
Pretty much, yeah.
And the flip side to this also is, like, if you want to turn Bray Wyatt face, or you want to turn the Wyatt family face, it's like, turn them face, but have them feud with the Authority. Because there's, you know, you have a perfect anti-authority
faction for Down With The Machine.
For Down With The Machine, down with the powers that be, and have Bray Wyatt try to seize power of the company and feud with Triple H and Stephanie. Or something if they try to get title, you know, whether Bray gets a title, the boys get a title, somebody gets whatever. You know, somebody gets a title and the Authorities is clearly trying to control that picture and the entire title picture, not just the World Heavyweight Championship. Then it's something of, well, they lose control of the Wyatts. Now what do they do?
Again, there's so many unanswered questions and so many roads they still had to travel, and they just didn't want to do it. And hopefully they see this and they go, they change their mind in some sort of fashion. We'll see. It's
from what I've seen, there's a lot of outcry against it.
Hopefully they read it and Hunter's very aware of it and makes some changes.
Yeah, it's like, again, if you want to split Harper off and you want to give him a singles run, do it. But have Bray and Eric be near. Don't completely destroy the family. I will say this. If they are going to do the split, it looks like they're splitting Harper off in the right fashion, where it's an amicable parting, which means if they want to go back to the family at a later date, they can.
Yes.
Unless something happens with Eric. And they split apart in a more violent fashion, but it's something of, if you do at least the amicable split, it works out better that way for everybody involved.
And please, please, if you're thinking of bringing up other tag teams to put with Bray Wyatt, just stick with the one you got. Okay?
Yeah. Don't bring up the Ascension and put the Ascension with him. Please don't. It's not going to work. I can tell you that right now.
So, there you go.
So, there's me whining and complaining about them splitting the babies and the kids. And sorry, I calmed down from the beginning of the show, so not as many bleeps as there could have been.
Yeah. And my thoughts echo hers, because we've been having this conversation for 3 days now.
Yeah. So, anyway, I say we move on to question of the night, which is as follows. Which is your favorite SmackDown moment?
So the general consensus is holla holla player tag team match.
Oh, Lord.
You know, Teddy Long is a big favorite of people for SmackDown, and that's, you know, that's kind of true. Now, going back, and SmackDown 15 airs on I guess it's the 10th, I believe it's the date, next Friday. Yeah, it would be the 10th. On Sci-Fi 8 p.m. Eastern. If you look back through the history of Friday night SmackDown or Thursday night SmackDown, whatever you want to call it, there's been a lot of things, memories, and moments that have happened. Like earlier today, because the WWE Network has the first 15 episodes of SmackDown on there. It's kind of awesome. I was watching episode 3. And you remember the Buried Alive match for the tag team titles? Undertaker, Big Show versus the Rockin' Sock Connection. With the Undertaker and his Furby beard and stuff like that. And Hunter was there, and Steve Austin pops out of an ambulance, attacks Hunter, beats him around the Buried Alive thing. It was kind of awesome. And SmackDown has brought us a lot of things, and it brought us a lot of characters. It gave people like, you know, Chris Jericho a real chance. It gave people like Eddie Guerrero a real chance. It actually established Brock Lesnar a little bit as well when he went over there. Kurt Angle was a big force over there. And we got to see a lot of different things. We got to see Steve Austin blow up a bus on SmackDown. We got to see the big fist. Remember the SmackDown fist?
Yes.
Love the SmackDown fist. And we got to see, you know, Big Show give The Undertaker a birthday present or something. I think it wasn't even a birthday present. It was just apologies. And what was a singing telegram and a teddy bear and, yeah. It was a dog.
It was a puppy.
It was a puppy.
The Undertaker got a puppy. And it was so cute.
Like, and, you know, one memory you remember is the night for the first SmackDown that was live for right after 9/11. That will go down in history. Like, one moment I remember, you don't remember this moment often, but it was from the first SmackDown on UPN. Remember UPN was a network back then? It was a thing, and then became, you know, CW and stuff like that. But UPN was a thing. And it was during Hunter's first run as champion. And Shawn Michaels comes back, and he's the commissioner at the time, and he's, you know, off and on TV and whatever. He comes back. It's The Rock versus Triple H, and Shawn Michaels is a special referee, and Shawn and Hunter have been going at each other's throat for a while, and Shawn's been screwing around with Hunter. And then, bam, Shawn super kicks The Rock, and, you know, Hunter and Shawn are back together again, and there's a big collusion with Shane McMahon and stuff like that. That's one of the moments, one of my favorite moments from SmackDown history. And another thing that SmackDown gave us, Mattitude Facts.
Yes.
What about you? What's something you remember from the time of SmackDown?
Oh, Lord, I think SmackDown gave me one of my favorite pairings ever, which of course is The Undertaker and Stephanie McMahon. Whether they're on the same side, whether it's The Undertaker stalking her, you know, whatever. I love Taker and Stephanie together. I loved it when Stephanie was the GM, when they did the initial brand split. Mm-hmm. And I just love the chemistry those two have.
Right.
Another one was, I think, when I went to SmackDown. That was just fun as hell.
How about, remember the Billy and Chuck wedding?
Yes, the wedding. The gay wedding.
That really wasn't a thing.
Everybody who makes fun of WWE, I'd like to point out, they had a gay wedding 10 years? Before
something.
Gay marriage really ever became an issue in this country.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so before you get them crap, just remember they did a commitment ceremony well before anybody else.
Well, they attempted to do one.
They attempted to do one.
They attempted to do one. Hell, SmackDown gave us John Cena, for better or worse. They gave us John Cena. Gave us Randy Orton. They broke out on Raw, on SmackDown, did Randy Orton and John Cena.
Yes, they did.
And the Billy and Chuck wedding was in 2002. September 12, 2002. Think about that.
So they gave us the wedding 12 years.
Yeah.
Before it was a hot button topic. Just pointing that out.
Yeah. Remember Noble and Nydia together?
Yes!
That was SmackDown.
Oh my god, I love those two. They were so perfect together. I remember Taker and Sarah 2.0 in Michelle McCool and Chuck Palumbo.
I remember that.
Trying to think of what, you know, it's like, what else? What else? What
it gave us the longest, at the one point, the longest running WWE champion in SmackDown history, John Bradshaw Layfield.
Oh my lord in heaven, JBL.
It gave us JBL. See, SmackDown for a while, like, it was the B show, but when Paul Heyman's writing in a bunch of other guys, it became the second brand that a lot of stars were made from, because every time Raw got stale, let's pull this guy and this guy and this guy from SmackDown.
Right.
So SmackDown was a nice building ground for a lot of things, and then the Attitude Era was kind of cool, but in the early to mid-2000s, SmackDown was the show to watch at points.
Yes, it was. SmackDown was often, I remember, being a lot better than Raw.
Because it had the better, more interesting talent.
Yes, it did.
So that's just some memories of SmackDown. I'll probably get into a little bit more next week on the show, but, you know, just wanted to throw out there because SmackDown 15 airs next week on Sci-Fi next Friday. We'll be watching, you know, that sort of thing, because it's SmackDown.
It's SmackDown, and, you know, we may have a surprise or two for next week.
Because, you know, that's what we do.
That's totally what we do. But now I think we're done for the night. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we're done for the night.
All right, well, do your plugs.
Tomorrow, or maybe Saturday, depending on when I get things done, it'll be the Rack Extra Total Divas Season 3 Episode 4 review, which is Kung Fu Fighting # Holy Naked Rosa. We'll talk all about that, so check that out this weekend. Saturday night, midnight-ish, right after Cards Against Humanity. It's the weird, the wacky, it's the unusual. It's CB Radio, # Blame Rob. NFL picks, and so much more. It's CB Radio, right here on the Model Talk Radio Network, midnight-ish on Saturday night. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com / Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Sunday night, WTR Sunday night returns Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mason Omega, the covering week in wrestling. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday night and Facebook.com / Wrestle Talk Radio. Monday night's the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. And then we'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR the _ Rack and Facebook.com / WTR The Rack. Go back and listen to our interviews with Eva Marie, with Brian Shields, and the rated R superstar Adam Edge Copeland. You follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com / Wild Talk Radio Network. And as Lindsay said, you never know what we may pull out of our still sleeves next week.
Yes. You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LANSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. All the pieces are available there. Just not for sale, because they kind of killed my Redbubble. So, yes, like Rock said, go to recradioshow.com. Go listen to our past interviews, including with Edge and Eva Marie and Brian Shields, because they're all awesome. And don't forget to visit our very fine sponsors, because I can't speak. PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!